Inspire Change Summit, presented by Earth is Waking Up. This is your host, Jeremy Anderson. Today, we've got a very special guest on the line, Patrick Prochaska. He's got a lot of experience over the years in various modalities. After a long and stressful career as an upscale restaurant manager, Patrick left the hospitality industry to embrace his calling as an authenticity coach and energy healer. He's an expert in law of attraction coaching, subconscious reprogramming, and energetic activations for healing and personal growth. With a BA in history of science and a master's in the religions of ancient India, Patrick is a well-rounded expert in the interplay of science and religion, and he applies higher dimensional tools for awakening and growth from a foundation based in science. He has studied massage therapy, aromatherapy, Reiki, law of attraction, life coaching, various schools of yoga, theta healing, awakening dynamics, and other healing systems, and has developed his own unique system of energetic activations called Thrive Energetics. Patrick is based in Southern California and is available for lectures, seminars, and workshops around the globe. Welcome, Patrick, and thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's a joy to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you on. It sounds like there's so much you've done. Could you maybe paint that picture even a little more clear for us? What, how you got started and what drew you into so many modalities?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to talk about that. It's a very, very big answer. But I'll try to condense it as much as possible. So, like a lot of people that are on the call right now, I spent many, many years struggling in a system that was designed to make the most money no matter what the cost was.
Yeah.
So I spent years and years in the restaurant industry doing that daily grind of competing against other restaurants, competing within the staff, all the drama that's involved in trying to create a world-class restaurant. And it was really draining to me. I was never happy. Even when I was at the absolute pinnacle of my career and I had a job that a number of other people would have potentially killed to have, I was absolutely miserable and dead inside.
Wow.
So it was at that point that I decided to take a number of different things that I've been studying for decades and transform them from a set of hobbies into a unified career.
Yeah.
So years ago in the 1980s, late 1980s and early 90s, I was doing massage therapy. I did massage therapy for professional athletes. And
wow.
I did some Reiki work as well. And that was incredibly fulfilling for me way back then.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it was also energetically draining for me because I was too much of an empath.
Didn't know how to handle it better.
That's it. Yeah, I should rephrase that. It's not that I was too much of an empath. I was deeply empathic, but I didn't know how to protect myself against the energies that I was absorbing. And it was really confusing. It is. And I know it's a problem for a lot of people that are listening to the call, and maybe I sense it might be in you as well a little bit. But the thing is, not only was I taking on people's elements and taking on people's physical energies, I was also taking on their thought patterns. I was taking on their expectations. I was taking on their judgments. And I didn't have the ability to discern between my own thoughts, feelings, sensations, and judgments and those of other people.
Right.
So it made me very amorphous. I turned into one of those people that I'd walk into a room and I would change energetically into a completely different person based on the people who were around me. And answer is, yeah, I had no foundation. I had no ability to ground myself.
Yeah.
So that was unsatisfying, even though it was a very empowering period in my life. And I shut the door on it completely. So what I did was I went in the direction of going absolutely intellectual.
That's what happened. Okay.
Yeah. So I even became an atheist for a while. I was agnostic, sometimes atheist. I studied history of science for my undergraduate degree, and then I started studying the religions of ancient India, but from a purely academic viewpoint.
Yeah.
I wanted to understand why people believed what they believed. I didn't want to have any part in it myself experientially.
Right.
Wow. So I went through that phase
That's typical for academia, right?
I think it is, and I think it was really good for me because if I had taken the dive into the experiential side of that,
uh-huh.
being completely ungrounded the way I was, and being completely buffeted by the winds of all the energies around me, I think I would have gotten lost in that energy.
Yeah.
So it worked out probably for the best that I did that. And it also gave me a really solid historical and scientific foundation for what mm-hmm. I'm doing. And then I got back into Reiki again. I started doing a PhD program in religion in modern India. But by the time I was getting around to writing the dissertation for the PhD, I had already been a general manager at two different restaurants, so I decided to do the corporate path because it was ready-made for me and because it was lucrative and because I was good at it. And how many of us, you know, go down the wrong path in life because other people tell us it's what we should do. People say,
right.
That's what you're good at, that's what you have experience in, that's what you must do with your life.
That's the way I started my life.
Yeah, so there was no authenticity in it. I mean, I enjoyed the work in the restaurant industry, but it wasn't in harmony with who I was at my core.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, when you're in a career that at its foundation is not in harmony with who you are at your core, it's going to kick you out. It's going to find ways to shake you up and move you out. So, so I went through a number of different jobs at different restaurants, general manager positions and lower positions, and it seemed like each progressive job was more dissatisfying than the previous one.
Yeah.
And it eventually led to I don't want to call it a nervous breakdown, but I ended up in the hospital with stress-related illness.
Mm.
And that was my wake-up call. That was, you know, it's time for me to start doing what I'm authentically here to do, no matter what other people think of me, no matter if my old employees laugh at me because I'm doing something that they don't understand.
Right.
Get through all of that crap and move into just embracing what I know that I'm here to do. And now everything seems to flow. Everything seems to fall into place. And
yeah.
when problems arise, when money gets short for the month or something like that, I just ease my way right through it without getting worked up about it, and everything always resolves in the end. So
yeah,
it's beautiful, that transformation.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. When you talked about your previous employees and not understanding what you're working on, I've noticed that with generally the people that are anchored in 3D reality. That's
mm-hmm.
one of the tactics to try and pull people back down into 3D reality is make fun of them if you don't understand it, if it doesn't fit in with the group, the collective, you know, from their perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and you know, I do slip in and out of that 3D mentality from time to time.
Yeah,
and I think
here.
We all do. I think it's really easy sometimes to wake up in the morning and find yourself back in linear thinking and
mm-hmm.
subject-object differentiation, and everything is separate and it's separate categories and everything's black and white and there's nothing in the middle. And that can be intellectually satisfying, and that's one of the reasons why people stay there, but it's so limiting.
Yeah, I get that. Wow. So, Patrick, our theme here, Earth is waking up. What does awakening mean to you?
Well, from my experience and the way I like to define the word, awakening is it's actually a series of steps, or it's a series of experiences, and there are many, many awakenings that happen, and awakenings can happen over and over again. So to me, an awakening is when you have some sort of experience that pulls you out of three-dimensional reality. When you have some sort of experience that cannot be explained in three-dimensional logic, and it tells you that there's something more to the universe than what we see with our three-dimensional logical minds and our thought processes.
So I've never heard it explained that way. That's awesome.
Okay. So an awakening is simply stepping into the awareness that there are higher dimensional realities. Yeah. And I think what often happens, and I know this happened to me, is we have an awakening experience and we wake up and then we, you know, slip back again. It's not, we like fall asleep again, but we have that experience in our memory bank. We know that things are not necessarily as they seem to be. And then you have more and more experiences like that. And eventually you anchor in that awakening experience so that you walk through this three-dimensional world of ours, realizing that it's all just a game, that it's all just an illusion.
Right.
It's not what it looks like. And if you could simply continue that awakening process, you'll be able to start walking through those walls and realizing that,
I've been feeling so much more on that path right now myself. I back and forth between 3D and, wait, I know there's more out there. I know I've got a team of helpers helping me, you know, non-physical helpers.
Mm-hmm.
And just continuing to remind myself and keep that in mind so that I can ask for that assistance and keep moving forward in a much more powerful fashion than if I was to just count on the belief that I'm the only one here doing this in the physical.
Yeah, that's true. And it's really amazing what happens. You step into power as you awaken. You begin to we live in this three-dimensional world as human beings with the belief system in place that what we need to do in order to empower ourselves is to manipulate external circumstances.
Uh-huh.
So we spend all of our time focused outwardly. We're constantly moving the chess pieces around on the board.
Yeah.
Other people are doing the same thing, so we're butting heads with other people, and we're all trying to manipulate the external world for our material and benefit or material gain. But what happens when you wake up is you realize that distinction between internal and external really doesn't work. It's not true that there are all of these different separate objects that are outside of you. Everything in the universe interpenetrates, and the entire universe outside of you also exists inside of you, and you exist inside everything in the universe. So when you grow into that realization that the entire universe exists inside you, you can begin to turn inward and make changes inside yourself, and they simultaneously manifest in the world outside you. So you no longer have to move those chess pieces around. You no longer have to manipulate external circumstances to accomplish your desires. You simply go internally and make adjustments, and things fall into place after that. It's incredible that transition out of force and into true empowerment.
Yeah.
That's
like thinking that, once I'm awakened, then I'll be happy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's one of my favorite things to talk about. What we've been taught in our Western world, and especially in the capitalistic element of the world that we live in, is that happiness is elusive and you must earn it. So as soon as you have the perfect house and the perfect car and the perfect career and so forth, then you will achieve happiness.
Perfect
as though
body.
It's some sort of, yes, as though it's a diploma or something that you need to work for. And we all know that's not true, because when you achieve that perfect car, then you're no happier than you were before, because you want to achieve the next thing.
Yeah.
So what I have found, and this is like so beautifully expressed through the law of attraction, mm-hmm. if you step into the energy of being happy right now and you resonate with the energy of happiness in your energy field, if you tune yourself to that energetic frequency of happiness, then all of those things that supposedly will make you happy start gravitating to you naturally. So that perfect car and that perfect spouse and the perfect job, they all come your way on autopilot, because you're attracting them through your vibration.
Yeah.
So it starts with your happiness. The fulfillment starts with you being happy right now, not postponing your happiness until you've done all the work.
So, yeah.
And it's just pure law of attraction right there.
So somehow you'll earn it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that what you just said, that resonates for a lot of people still, even after they've had their awakening. There are still a lot of programs in people's subconscious mind that say, well, if you really step into the law of attraction that way and attract everything to you effortlessly, then it's not as satisfying because you didn't put the work in it. Or somehow, you know, it's too easy. Shame on you for getting it too easy. There's admiration in doing the arduous work, or you must suffer in order to achieve your liberation.
And life is hard.
That's the belief system. That I think that's a tool of the ego to slow us down and pull us back into freedom.
Oh, totally. Aren't there so many of those?
Yeah. So, I mean, why can't you have your happiness now? Why can't you have your cake and eat it too?
So one of the listeners commented that Colette Baron Reed calls the waking up and falling back asleep spiritual narcolepsy.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds about right.
Yeah.
Walking through life and halfway falling over and stumbling. Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, it kind of is. I guess that's a really good way to put it, because it quite often seems like we have no control over it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sometimes some event will happen in my external world that will just lead me into that three-dimensional viewpoint once again. And the reason for that is because there are all those programs that are functioning on autopilot in the subconscious mind. We have trillions upon trillions upon trillions of lines of code in our brain that are limiting in nature and are designed to keep us in a three-dimensional viewpoint. So, you know, we can forgive ourselves for slipping back into three-dimensional awareness every now and then, and forgetting that you know, when we get that letter from the IRS or the tax agency saying that we owe money or we're being audited or something, we can be forgiven for slipping into that old energy again that tells us that we live in lack and we have to fight. Because it takes a while to eliminate all those codes and rewire the subconscious mind. The other thing is, you know, we live in a collective consciousness. If you are having your own set of experiences that tell you that the universe is different, there's still the thoughts, emotions, sensations, judgments, opinions, and so forth of billions upon billions of people that are vibrating at the same time. And it's easy to absorb that energy. Once again, it's easy to step into that group consciousness mind frame. So it can take a while. And if you do it with the knowledge that there is something more out there and that a setback is only an opportunity for more growth, and you know, nothing is permanent, then it actually becomes a joyful ride to slip back into 3D and reawaken again.
Right. So you talk a lot about surrender, allowing, and detachment. How can you create inspired change in the world with an attitude of detachment?
Mm. Oh, yes. Wow. So surrender. Surrender. It's actually one of my favorite topics. So first of all, the three-dimensional viewpoint on surrender is you're giving up. So surrender is just laying back and taking it. Detachment is giving in. You know, if you're detached from something, then you just, you know, allowing is giving in. So first of all, what I would say is there is tremendous power in surrender, because normally what we're attached to is manipulating and controlling the outcome of external circumstances. So quite often we go into a project wanting to have one specific outcome, and we're not open to anything else, and we're attached to things happening in a certain way. So, for example, in my practice, if somebody comes to me with a physical ailment of some sort, and they want to have some sort of healing done on that physical ailment, quite often they'll have in their mind that there's one specific solution to it, and that's what they want. And they're attached to that. They're attached to the elimination of the symptoms, for example.
Yeah.
Well, if you're attached to one specific outcome, you're actually limiting what the universe can bring you, because the universe might have 1,000 different beautiful opportunities for you. So if you simply surrender to the wisdom of the universe to bring you what is in the best and highest interest of all parties involved, then you open yourself up to all sorts of opportunities that you would otherwise completely overlook. So it's almost like doors open all around you that you never knew existed before when you slip into that state of surrender.
That's a tough one. How do you get yourself to stay there? Open.
It's a tough one, yes.
Because we have so many reminders that keep trying to prove to us that only the physical is what's really true, and so we need to go into conclusion and stay out of that unknown surrender of the possibilities that we don't realize might be there and available to us yet.
Yeah. No, I know. It's interrelated with trusting the universe and having an element of faith involved. And I know it can be incredibly difficult to actually let go, because that's a very, very scary thing for us.
Yeah.
Because in a three-dimensional, if a three-dimensional world were the true reality, if it was the only thing that existed and we had linear time and everything is spatially separated from everything else, then you would need to have that element of control, because everything is cause and consequence. Everything happens sequentially based on previous actions and so forth. So you would want to have that specific outcome in mind. I think it goes hand in hand with that awakening experience that shows you that a higher reality exists, or that there are higher dimensional realities that you can tap into. And if you surrender to those and allow them to happen, So a couple of definitions. So when I'm talking about detachment, I'm talking about taking action and moving forward, doing what you know you're motivated to do without any sort of control of the outcome of the situation. So you're doing things, but you're open to new possibilities emerging as you're stepping forward.
Yeah.
Allowing is letting things happen as they come. So allowing typically for me involves letting other people live their lives on their terms without me needing to control them or manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
So once we spend so much time spinning our wheels trying to control other people or standing in judgment of other people because of the things that they do. If you step into a place of just let other people be who they are in their terms and let them grow at their own pace, that frees you to grow even faster. And if you grow even faster, then you become a role model for those very people that you were standing in judgment of previously.
By allowing ourselves to grow instead of keeping ourselves locked into the old paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So Okay. So what would you explain that an awakened life looks like?
Well, I guess on the surface, an awakened life really doesn't look too much. It doesn't look too much different than another life. The difference would be that if you're living an awakened life, you're not standing in judgment of everything around you. So some of the other differences that would take place is you wouldn't be spending a lot of time gossiping, for example. You wouldn't be standing in judgment of other people or expressing a lot of spiritual ego, a sense of superiority. So because you're not standing in that energy of judgment of the world around you, you are able to harmonize your activities with the world around you in a new way. So you're still doing the things that you did before. You're still doing your job. You're still, you know, I could still be a restaurant manager. I'd just be doing it from an attitude of not taking it so seriously that I consider it a life and death issue, and I'd be getting more done effortlessly.
Yeah.
So outwardly, I'd look a lot happier. You know, inwardly, I would realize that I'm working from a place of internal power as opposed to external manipulation.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I think that that might not be the most satisfying answer because I'm speaking in abstracts here.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a little bit, I guess I'm intellectualizing it about it quite a bit. But the difference is, you know, there's like that old saying, and this is from, I'm not sure, it's some sort of Buddhist school, I guess, but, you know, the disciple asks the master, what do you do before enlightenment? And the master says, well, you chop wood and carry water. And then the next question is, well, what do you do after enlightenment? And the answer is, you chop wood and carry water. You do the same thing. It's nothing changes except your attitude about it. And your attitude is one of harmony with nature instead of fighting against nature.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And when you said that you were explaining it in a, what were the words you used? Like explained it in a really cognitive sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just fine, you know, because some people, that's what they're able to hear, right?
Mm-hmm. So I would like to anchor it in experientially as opposed to being completely intellectual about it. So can we do a little bit of energy work with the group?
Sure. Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. well, let's do this. Let me take a moment. This will only take a second, but I would like to establish an energetic connection with everybody on the call. And one caveat, first of all, this does involve in training you to a theta brainwave state. So please, if you're doing anything potentially dangerous, like driving or chopping vegetables, please do not tap in energetically with me, save it for later. But if you're in a safe place and you're free of distractions and I want to have a little bit of energy work here, say yes right now for me to connect with you energetically.
Yes.
And when you say yes, please say yes with enthusiasm.
Yes.
This is one of those very simple things because the word yes itself has a magnificent, beautiful energy to it. So let's all step into the energy of yes. It's very empowering. And as I'm making that energetic connection, you might feel a little bit of tingling at the top of your head or some energy flowing through your face. Or you might feel nothing at all. Whatever the case, simply trust that a connection between us is being set. Beautiful. And now begin to imagine that there's a vortex of energy spinning around your body. So I typically like to envision a tornado of energy spinning counterclockwise around my body with me standing in the still point at the middle of that tornado. but you can imagine this any way that you would like. We all experience energy in different ways, so if a different metaphor works for you, go for it. And if you direct your attention downward, you'll notice that the vortex of energy spins all the way down into the planets, all the way down into Mother Earth, connecting you to Mother Earth. This is important because this allows you to ground yourself. There's very intensely powerful grounding and protective energy in Mother Earth. If you find yourself getting lightheaded as we're working or find yourself wanting to fall asleep, you can always pull some earth energy upward to bring you back into a cognitive state once again. And now if you direct your attention upward, you'll notice that the vortex of energy spins all the way up into the heavens. Beautiful. Okay, so what I work with is energetic activations, which is essentially changing the energy frequencies in your morphogenetic field. So the morphogenetic field is your energy blueprint. It's the template or the energy that surrounds your body out of which your physical body is created, and your mental and emotional bodies as well. So that involves a number of things. It involves pulling traumatic residue out of the energy field, pulling negative energies such as shame or disappointment or frustration, anger, hatred, rage, pulling those out. It can also involve energetic infusion such as joy or happiness or unconditional love. And then I balance that with subconscious reprogramming to rewire the programming in the brain so that you can have a new pattern of thinking. So let's just do, we talked about happiness earlier, let's do a happiness activation. So you can step into the energy of being happy right now rather than needing to work for it. So say yes to receive an energetic infusion of the frequency of happiness.
Yes.
Okay, beautiful. So you'll begin to feel this energy flowing down into your body from above, flowing through your energy field, infusing you to your very core. And as that energy is flowing in, say yes to receive individually several different downloads. So say yes if you would like to, would you like to have creator's perspective on happiness?
Yes.
Beautiful. So this is typically called a download, but it's really not a download because the information is not coming from an external source. We're actually letting it emerge from within you because it's already there. So in a sense, it's a remembrance or a reminder. Would you like to know from creator's perspective that you are allowed to be completely happy right now?
Yes.
Beautiful. Would you like to know what it feels like to be happy right now?
Yes.
Beautiful. Would you like to know how to maintain that level of happiness right now?
Yes.
Beautiful. Would you like to know that it is safe for you to be happy right now?
Yes.
Excellent. And would you like to know who you are from Creator's perspective as a being who is infused with happiness on a regular basis?
Yes.
Beautiful. So let's go back to the very first time in all lifetimes and on all levels where you decided that happiness must be postponed. And let's get Creator's perspective on why you decided that, and begin to clear that belief away from here. So say yes for that.
Yes.
Beautiful. Excellent. And now anywhere and everywhere in all lifetimes and on all levels where you have been punished or ridiculed or made fun of for being happy right now, would you like to wash that energy away?
Yes.
Yeah, because a lot of times if you're just a happy, bubbly person, other people who are in pain want to bring you down.
Uh-huh.
And then you begin to think that you're supposed to be down. So to wash all that away, all that traumatic residue. Beautiful. Now, anywhere and everywhere, in all lifetimes and in all levels, where you decided you must work hard before you're allowed to be happy. Would you like to get perspective on that and clear that away?
Yes.
Beautiful. Now take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. And then release when you're ready. Okay. Now, I do want to say, before we get back into our conversation again, I want to address something that came up when we made the connection. There is a powerful energy that's coming from some of the people on your call, an energy of slipping into diabetes. And it's emerging right now because there's somebody who's, at least one person who is having some serious health issues right now as a result of being diabetic and not being aware of it. I don't want everyone to, you know, panic or anything like that. Let's just receive some soothing energy that's going to rebalance the hormones and neurotransmitters in your system so that you can process your blood sugar levels with grace and ease. Okay, and also so that we can send in some soothing energy into the pancreas so it can do its job with grace and ease.
Would it help if we said yes for this one as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it would. Absolutely. And I'm hearing the yeses from the people on the call. And the only, and I usually don't tap into something like this, but there's somebody who is really on the verge of hypoglycemic attack or something. So
yeah.
Okay, so everybody take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. And release. Okay, and that actually was good for everybody on the call because without getting into conspiracy theories too much, we really do live in a society that is kind of structured in the direction of leading people into a diabetic life.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It's almost sometimes without analyzing it too deeply, it almost seems like the food industry wants you to be diabetic.
Yeah.
And whether that's true or not, I don't want to get into whether that's true or not and argue the points there, but it is true that diabetes energy is spreading throughout our society. So let's step into that with grace and ease and process it in the best and highest way for us individually.
And collectively.
Yes, absolutely. And you just hit on a really brilliant point. It's collectively, you can impact the collective as an individual. It's if you set your intention to completely and utterly transform the collective through your actions, then that's a pretty lofty goal. But if you start small and make energetic shifts within yourself, then that energy vibrates outward into the world, and you can actually transform collective consciousness over time. By standing in your energy with faith. I think often what happens is a lot of times we set out to change the entire world.
Right.
And when that turns out to be a big task, we get disappointed and we give up. We end up selling ourselves short. So I think that the best thing to do is if you see an issue in the world that you want to change yourself from within.
Yeah.
And then watch the effects propagate outward from you.
It's like trying to run when we haven't learned how to walk yet. Let's work on ourselves first, and then we can set some loftier goals.
Yeah. And, you know, the principle goes in a lot of directions as well. Sometimes if somebody has serious financial issues, for example, and they come to me and they're saying things like, well, the economy's really bad. I can't get ahead because the economy is bad. Well, the fact of the matter is you don't need to fix the entire economy. You only need to fix your own finances. You don't need enough money to fix the entire world's economy. You only need enough to cover your own needs.
Aren't green so helpful?
Yeah. So start small. Start with yourself. Transform yourself from within, and it all propagates outward.
They lead us on all these wild goose chases our minds do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've got a question here from Sylvia in Minnesota. I think lot of us share. Well, she's asking if you could check if there's anything blocking her conscious awareness or preventing her from getting clear on what she wants or desires.
Well, that's a really broad question. So if it could be focused in, it would be a little bit easier. But the very fact that you're asking that question kind of underscores a belief that, there's an empowerment issue at play here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not allowed to have my desires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I apologize. Give me a second here. I'm tapping in.
Sure.
And it usually takes about 5 to 10 seconds. Okay, so let's start with self-worth. So everybody on the call, whether you feel you have self-worth issues or not, participate in this section. So say yes if you would like to have Creator's perspective on unconditional love.
Yes.
Beautiful. And would you like to know from Creator's perspective that you are worthy of unconditional love?
Yes.
Beautiful. Would you like to have Creator's perspective on success?
Yes.
Beautiful. And would you like to know from Creator's perspective that you are worthy of success?
Yeah. Yes.
Beautiful. And now would you like to have and integrate Creator's perspective on your personal sense of self-worth?
Very much yes.
Okay. And would you like to know that you are allowed to step into and reside in that sense of self-worth all the time?
Yes.
Okay, this is where we're hitting something. So there are all these messages that are in, it's Sylvia's head that says that if she stands in her self-worth or if she expresses her self-worth to the world, then she's being holier than thou or she's being uppity or who are you to bask in your success? So anywhere and everywhere where you've decided that it's dangerous or unseemly to stand in your personal self-worth, would you like to have Creator's perspective on that and clear that away?
Yes.
Beautiful. And anywhere and everywhere in all lifetimes and in all levels where anybody else has criticized you for standing in your self-worth, has accused you of being arrogant, has accused you of being holier than thou, would you like to get perspective on why that happened and clear that away right now?
Yes. I don't know if I care about the why, but clear it, please.
Beautiful. Okay. And now would you like to know that it is safe for you to stand firmly in your self-worth?
Yes.
Okay. And as you stand firmly in your self-worth, you will be able to recognize and see the worthiness of everyone around you. And you won't see it as a threat, and they won't see your worthiness as a threat, and you can celebrate that energy together.
Wow.
Beautiful. Let's take a deep breath and hold it for a moment, and then release. So what I'm picking up in Sylvia for the most part is there's a lot of fog, there's a lot of cloudiness about what her life's mission is, what she's supposed to do with her life, and what will actually bring her joy if she does it in her life. And a lot of that is just that fog of, well, if you're successful at that, then you're doing something wrong. You're getting full of yourself.
Yeah.
And then there's also like this other dimension where she has been told over and over again that it's her duty to sacrifice herself on behalf of others. And sacrificing yourself is essentially a negation of your self-worth. It basically says, I am less worthy than other people.
But it feels so noble.
Yeah, it feels noble, but it's not anytime
horrible.
You have to sacrifice yourself on behalf of others in order to lift yourself up, you're really ignoring your own sense of self-worth. There are ways where you can lift other people up and stand in your self-worth at the same time. And that's where that fogginess is coming in, because it's dangerous to move in the direction of embracing our self-worth, because then it backfires.
Yeah, thank you for asking that, Sylvia. I think that question applies to so many people. And that's something that I would love to see cleared on the collective, to allow us all to step into our power and trust that we're good
Absolutely.
Enough. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you. It's always a joy to connect individually with people. So let's see. I'm going to tap in and read through the group one more time, see where we're going. It's interesting. There are a number of physical issues in the group, but nothing that really stands out. There's a deep-seated fear about the direction the world's going in. Wow. Okay, so I'm picking up from several people a sense of confusion about how is it that we're ascending? What does it mean to say that we're ascending into higher dimensional awareness? And yet it seems from our three-dimensional perspective that the entire world is on fire right now and things are just getting worse and worse and worse. So that's okay, so let's just clear up that confusion, but not on an intellectual level. Let's just be aware that that strife is actually built into the three-dimensional reality. So it's nothing new. And it's not necessarily getting worse. It's only expressing itself in different ways, and we have more awareness of it now because of social media and so forth. News about some horrible thing that somebody did to somebody else, it gets to us faster now than it used to. So it might not necessarily be the case that things are getting worse. Okay. Beautiful. So I'm basically just soothing those doubts that people are having that say that this is evidence that we're not actually ascending into a higher reality. But the fact of the matter is we are. More and more people all the time are stepping into higher dimensional awareness. And it's much easier for people to do that now. It's amazing to me. I remember back in the late 1980s when I would talk about being empathic, people would ridicule me, they'd laugh at me, it probably wasn't too much earlier before that, where making claims of being psychically connected to people and taking on symptoms that didn't make any sense, that's the type of thing that could get you thrown into an institution.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen anymore. If somebody says, I'm psychic and this is happening, there's a lot more acceptance and understanding in the world today and a lot less fear connected to it.
Thank goodness for leaders like you stepping up and speaking up and sharing your gifts and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
go ahead.
I was just thinking, I remember when it was Nancy Reagan who just got raked over the coals because she went to a psychic. She was ridiculed viciously for having it. You know, it meant that it called into serious question her judgment and so forth. And now we all go to psychics. There are TV shows about psychics. It's so normalized now that clearly there's been a paradigmatic shift society about higher dimensional awareness.
I gotta say, well, thank you, Nancy. So one other thing I wanted to say real quick on the comment about the more seeming like more and more chaos is showing up in the world, and how could it be possible that we're actually awakening if there's more chaos showing up? And one thing that I've realized with that is, first off, the powers of the bee are throwing everything in the fire. They're doing everything they can right now because they know mm-hmm. they're losing ground quick. And
they
will rest
for it too.
And also, the more that we believe those stories, the more we empower those stories to become more anchored in our reality, which is the opposite of what we really want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that opens up a whole can of worms that might be a Pandora's box that we don't want to open. But I'll just leave it aside. But there's yeah.
So, and one other thing that came to mind is that change, if we can reprogram ourselves to notice and realize and remember that when we notice something chaotic, that is a trigger for us to see that change needs to happen. So
yes.
What change is it we would like to see happen, and how can we contribute? Rather
yes.
than
oh my gosh, isn't that so great? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, instead of standing in judgment, actually just shifting your energy about the situation. So
yeah.
instead of, you know, seeing something ridiculous that somebody said in an interview, instead of getting on Facebook and sending out all those messages, my God, aren't you outraged that this person did this? Actually just meditate on it and turn inward and make it so that it doesn't impact you. I was just talking with somebody yesterday about disengaging from the news.
Uh-huh.
And for me, disengaging from the news isn't you become ignorant of what's going on in the world around you. It's not about turning off the news so that you don't know what's happening in the world and therefore it doesn't impact you. Disengaging from the news for me in that context meant no longer being in a place where it gets me all worked up. So if
yeah.
I hear a story about some really horrific thing that somebody did to somebody else, instead of lowering my energetic signature to match that event, instead of getting into a place where I want to fight fire with fire, if I raise my awareness, raise my vibration, maybe that will have an impact in the world around me that will make events like that happen less and less often and eventually never again.
Yeah.
So, and for some people that can be dissatisfying because they want that revenge factor. They want to see that person punished who did
uh-huh.
that bad thing. So but when you get into that energy of, I want that person to be punished, I want to see that person get their comeuppance, you've lowered your energetic vibration, your frequency, to match the situation that you're outraged against. So you're living in outrage. So it's about transcending that. That outrage just keeps us all stuck in sickness and anger and illness and strife and pain. And there's suffering inherent in all of that. And adding more suffering to the mix isn't going to cure the suffering. So
yeah.
So
we're running a little short on time now, and I'd like to appreciate everybody's sense of time here. What are some of the most common limiting beliefs that keep people stuck, and how is it that you're able to help people move forward?
Wow. Okay. The really common limiting beliefs. Let's see. Well, I could categorize them. That's a nice three-dimensional thing to do. I'll tap into my powers of three-dimensional categorization here. So no matter what we're working on, say we're working on a physical ailment or we're working on poverty issues, the limiting beliefs that stand in the way typically follow certain patterns, and they are, number one, I don't know how to do this, so I don't know how to manage my wealth properly. I don't know what it feels like to do it. I'm not allowed to do it. We all get all sorts of messages from childhood and so forth that are no, 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 you're not allowed to do that. And
yeah.
a lot of us have incorporated into our subconscious brains a belief that God doesn't want us to do it. We all have these these huge long lists of no, no, no from God. God says, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. And we internalize that, so we think we're not allowed to do certain things that either move us forward in life or bring us joy. And that can be anything. It could be, I'm not allowed to be more successful than my parents, or I'm not allowed to be happy if somebody else in my family is sick. So allowance is one thing. Belief systems that it's not possible for certain things to happen. So energy healing is impossible. Me fixing my finances is impossible. It's impossible for me to ever fall in love, or I'll never be able to attract the person who will love me back. All of those possibility issues. And then probably the biggest category of blocks is safety issues. A lot of beliefs that it's dangerous for you to actually achieve certain things. Uh-huh. It's dangerous for me to be wealthy because then I'm a target.
Right.
It's dangerous for me to be wealthy because you have to be poor to get into heaven.
Yeah.
Beliefs like that. So if I achieve this goal, something bad is going to happen to me. So all of those are
all of the other people that aren't wealthy.
Oh, that's a huge one right there. And that's something that's really deeply ingrained into spiritually inclined people.
Yeah.
There's this three-dimensional belief that the universe has limited resources,
uh-huh,
and that we all must compete against each other for these limited resources.
Capitalism.
That's inherently three-dimensional.
Yeah.
When the truth of the matter is, from a higher dimensional perspective, we live in a universe of infinite abundance. So we don't have to compete because there's enough for everybody. In fact, there's a super abundance for everybody. But in this three-dimensional world of ours, we think we have to compete with each other. And then the conclusion is, the corollary, is that if I have more, that means I've taken away from somebody else and now they have less. And if we're on a spiritual path, then we're suddenly thinking, oh, my God, I'm selfish. If I'm wealthy on my spiritual path, then I'm depriving somebody else of something, and that's bad. So it's bad for me to be wealthy, and therefore I'm going to sacrifice my wealth on behalf of somebody else. So, it's amazing. All of these open up into thousands of different beliefs.
Yeah.
And those can all be cleared through subconscious reprogramming. It's essentially you go in to the subconscious mind that's in a theta brainwave state, and you basically just wipe away or get clarity on all of those beliefs, similar to what you would do in hypnosis.
Yeah. So your product offering. So if everyone can go to earthiswakingup.com/Patrick, you could see his talk page and listen to the replay if you're not on the live call. And then if you click on the special offer button, you can see his package there, and it's full of these energetic activations. Now, Patrick, these are some of what you're talking about that help with this subconscious reprogramming. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I put together a really fun package for your show. So what I did was I created a several brand new recordings that I haven't done before, and then I took a few of my greatest hits and blended them together into this new package. So I think this is probably perfectly representative of me and what I do in my business.
Yeah.
So it's almost like this package is the perfect microcosm of who I am. So I'm very happy with it. So just to go through it really quickly, because it's a very extensive package. Whenever I work with new clients, there are three specific activations that I consider to be foundational. These are the starting point for everything else we do in Thrive Energetics. And they're the basic intuition activation, which ignites your intuition. But the thing is, most of the people on your call, I can tell, have already had some sort of basic intuition activation. But this it's okay to have it. A youth and vitality activation, and then what I call the grace and ease activation, which allows you to integrate new energies without having that healing crisis that's so famous. So, or it will minimize that healing crisis. So as you know, when you're stepping into new energies, sometimes you'll get a migraine headache, or you'll have anxiety, or you'll have flu-like symptoms. This allows you to integrate those new energies with grace and ease without those symptoms derailing your life. So I think that's an incredibly powerful activation right there. Next, I put together a recording that is clearing away the most common limiting beliefs that prevent you from fully stepping into your power. So fully stepping into your intuitive gifts and your ability to spiritually ascend. So all of those fears about what will happen to you if you step into a spiritual life, all those beliefs that tell you that energy healing is anti-scientific or it's irrational, we wash all those away in the second program. And then we dive right into an activation of self-love, which I can't think of anything more powerful. Unconditional love for yourself is that can transform the entire universe.
Yeah.
So that's the third recording. What mostly holds us back and what causes negative things to happen over and over and over again in your life on autopilot, even though you're aware of them, is trauma and the residue from traumatic experiences from childhood or past lives. So the next track is a trauma and karmic loop release track to wash all that away. Next, we have the beautiful happiness activation, which we did. This goes a little bit more into detail on that. Kind of a deeper experience of what we did. Next, we have a deactivation of addiction energies. So we can be addicted to any number of things. You can be addicted to drama. You can be addicted to stress. You can be addicted to poverty or victimhood. A lot of people are addicted to spiritual seeking. So they'll, have this compulsion to try out every single spiritual package that ever comes along without ever really getting into any of them at the depth. So this takes that addictive energy and releases most of it and allows you to channel some of that energy into really positive, life-affirming areas.
Yeah, because that's usually some potent energy. It just needs to be redirected maybe if we're ready for that. But
It needs to be redirected, but not all of it, because, you know, for example, if you have an addiction to heroin, and we do an addiction redirection and take that energy and pour it into working out, then suddenly you're addicted to working out.
Right.
So we want to release most of that energy and then take some of that energy and pour it into activities that are beneficial. So it all happens in the best and highest way for you. Personally, we let your higher self determine how much of it to release and how much of it to hold on to for the best and highest outcome for all parties involved.
Yeah. And I love track seven.
Heart wall obliterator. So we all have heart walls. The heart is the master gateway to spiritual expansion. Everything happens through the heart. And because of our three-dimensional experiences and vulnerabilities and being hurt by people that we trusted in the past, we all protect our heart. We shield it. And eventually those shields take on form and you end up with a heart wall. So this obliterates any and all heart walls that you may have so that you can actually shine that energy from your heart unimpeded so that you can grow faster.
Wouldn't it be awesome
next
if we play that on loudspeaker around the world?
Wouldn't that be?
Wake up, everyone.
Mm-hmm. beautiful. Or put it subliminally in a TV show or something.
Well, when I was in Turkey last fall, they would, on the loudspeakers, every couple or few hours, they would have prayer going out over the loudspeakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, what if that was something that was actually like really powerful and helpful to everyone, and not just the ones that are listening and praying. And but go ahead.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's incredible. Let's see. The power of surrender, which we talked about a little bit.
Yeah.
And then empowered romance and relationships so that you can relate to romantic partners with honesty and respect and open communication so that you can forge new friendships and alliances with people from a place of empowerment rather than from a place of fear. And then we have a spiritual ego deactivation, which I think is incredibly important because a lot of times, and we can all think of examples where this has happened, where somebody has a peak experience of some sort, and then they assume that they've made it to the peak of the mountain, not realizing that they've only taken the first step. And then what happens is they get judgmental of other people who are doing different things, and then they become litigious. And there's some very famous examples of litigious gurus, that's such an oxymoron. So nothing can hold you back on your spiritual spiritual path more dramatically than the ego can. And when you're engaging in the spiritual Olympics, then you've already lost. next, we have a recording on modern life syndrome. Modern life syndrome is dealing with all of the stressors of the modern world with grace and ease.
Yeah.
And this is important because there are a few people on your call who have structured their lives in such a way where they try to avoid all of the stressors of the world. And when you are constantly in that state of avoidance, then you're constantly in a state of stress. So that avoidance energy itself is stressful in the same way that what you're trying to avoid is stressful. So this allows you to not only clear away the energy of the stressors of the modern world, but if you do find yourself in a situation where you're eating salty junk food or you're in a place where there are strong EMFs, you can process that energy with grace and ease.
Wow.
Next, we have alignment of bodies, and this one is very powerful, especially for those of your callers who are starseeds, who are from other star systems, and I know there are a few.
Probably all of us.
Yeah, probably all of us. So, what this does, without getting into too much technical detail, is it takes the templates for your physical, emotional, and mental bodies and lines them up spatially, and I know that sounds three-dimensional, but it is really powerful. So it lines them up spatially, and it synchronizes the timelines. Thing is that a lot of star seeds feel really, really awkward in a human body.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's because in their mental body, they're still in their star seed form, whereas in their physical body, they're in human form. So their heart in their physical body is in a different place than where their heart is in their mental body.
Wow.
So this brings all that into alignment so that you can live in your physical body with grace and ease. I've seen situations where people in their emotional body have had their heart completely separate outside of their physical heart. And you can imagine what that does to somebody when their emotional heart is in a completely different location spatially than their physical heart. It shuts down communication instantaneously. So
wow.
It aligns all
of that. Having no intuition.
And then we have a guided manifestation, and you can listen to this one over and over and over again. It's for determining exactly what it is you would like to manifest, exploring why you would like it, and then doing the manifestation. Next, we have a track called You're Never Too Old, so that you can let go of those limiting beliefs that tell you that you're too old for sex or love or romance or dancing or good vision or whatever it else you've come to believe is inevitable for people as they age.
Or driving a hot rod.
Yeah. So, if you're in your 60s, drive your hot rod. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Choose
and
joy.
And then there's a track that is a pineal gland support sound bath. So there's no speaking on this. It's isochronic tones that are done at a frequency of 42.7 hertz and at a pitch of 288 hertz. So that combination is exceptionally powerful for opening the third eye and for awakening the pineal gland. So I've had some, when I put this together, I had some truly bizarre experiences listening to this the first few times I did it. It drove me out of my body completely several times.
So would you suggest,
I enjoy it quite a bit.
Would you think it would be okay for people to put this on a loop and listen to it all night long while they sleep?
I don't see any harm in doing that. Yeah, and I think what's going to happen, you know, I've done that myself, and I've noticed in the morning that at some point in the night, without my even being aware of it, I took off the headphones. I think what's going to happen is if you do that and it begins to become too much for you, your subconscious mind is going to step in and you'll take off the headphones without even thinking about it at some point. So there's no danger in doing that at all. Not at all. And it's not good. For some people, it might cause a little bit of a headache because we all have calcification on our pineal glands.
Yeah.
The pineal gland is, if you are in a state of spiritual awakening, then your pineal gland is beginning to vibrate and pulsate in a way that almost seems violent to a normal human. So part of what keeps us stuck in three-dimensional awareness is this shell of protein that surrounds the pineal gland. And that shell, what it does is it prevents the pineal gland from vibrating and pulsating so that you can only be aware of three dimensions and three dimensionality. But as you begin to break down that external shell, your pineal gland begins to pulsate in a new way and you begin to have higher dimensional awareness. So the awakening process goes hand in hand with the awakening of the pineal glands. And for some people, that decalcification process can be painful. It can cause migraine headaches. But, of course, the first track in the set is the Grace and Ease activation, which mitigates that migraine headache. So
nice.
You can do it safely without having to worry about that pain.
Wow.
And then I've also included three of my live group calls. I did a really amazing call on personal power. I did a call that's focused on embodiment, and then another call on transformational leadership. And all of these are included in the package as well. And so it's a big package. Here, I'm going to see how long it is. It looks like the entire package is about 9.5 hours altogether. So there's quite a bit in there. Yeah.
It's quite a bit.
But I'm happy with it. It's like I said, it's probably at this point the purest demonstration of what I'm doing and who I am.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not that it's all about me.
Wow. I think we could all learn from something from somebody who's been intuitive as long as you have, so gifted for so long, and all the things that you've learned and practiced and all the experience you've had with working with your clients.
Thank you. And, you know, we should mention the price. It's the package itself, I priced it $299 with the bonuses added in, it's normally $404, but we're pricing it at $97.
Yeah, such a gift, Patrick. That's that's a heck of a deal, I have to say.
Thank you.
I feel honored that you put such a an amazing package together for such a low price. And I hope that everyone that resonates with it can take advantage of that while it's there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. It's what brings me joy in life. So.
Awesome. One more time for the listeners. If you go to earthiswakingup.com/Patrick, if you scroll down and click on the big special offer button, it'll take you to the page that has his offer. And you could see the description there, scroll through and look at all the activations. And just ask yourself, is that something that would help me in my life to help myself and in turn help the world? Love it. I listened to some of it today and loved it. I'm going to definitely keep listening some more.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Patrick, are there any key ideas that you would love for people to walk away today with?
Oh, so let's tap in through the group because you know me. If I open up one idea, it's going to cascade into a whole 20-minute speech. But I think that it sounds cliche, and it for a lot of us it feels cliche whenever we hear it. But I just want to say, everybody, please believe in yourself. And if anyone ever tells you that it's cliche for you to use that phrase, believe in yourself, just let that go and step into the energy of knowing that you are on your path for a reason. You're on the right path for you, that everything is emerging for you in the best and highest way for you individually. And, just don't let other people derail you from that path through their judgments or their expectations of you, or them telling you that you should be doing something practical with your life instead. That's the one I got a lot. You should look at your gifts and do what's practical, not what's flighty or woo-woo or something like that. So simply trust yourself. Believe in yourself. Trust yourself. And if you step into that energy of trusting yourself, you will never let yourself down. It's guaranteed. Yeah.
Wow.
And there's one other thing that we need to do. I do want to disconnect from everyone energetically.
Oh, right.
So just say yes for that disconnection to take place.
Yes.
And there we go. And the disconnection would take place anyway after the call ends. But the important thing is, I want to send in a sprinkling of energy right now that's going to wash away any and all residue that you may have picked up from me or from other people on the call.
Mm-hmm.
Because where we started, we talked about we're all empaths. We all carry other people's energy with us. Let's just wash away any and all residue that you picked up from other people.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay.
I love it. Just keep it
there
clean.
There you go. Yeah.
I really appreciated what you were saying about believing in ourselves. That was just giving me chills the whole time you were talking about that. That's something I've definitely been working on myself for a while. Just how what that really means. I won't try and extend the call too much more here, but as I've gone through life, I've heard that over and over, and I'm like, yeah, I believe in myself. Okay, cool, whatever. But as I keep going down this path, I keep realizing more and more that there's more layers to that idea, that concept, or that way of believing in myself. And I think what you explained earlier about awakening being anything that doesn't make sense in the 3D reality that hits us, what is that? Oh, wow, well, that makes sense, but it doesn't make logical 3D world kind of sense, but it feels right. And I've been realizing over and over the same thing with believing in myself, that logically and friends, even close friends or relatives, well, maybe relatives don't count, but close friends that I can normally count on, I still feel sometimes like, they don't trust it, but it still feels right to me. I've got to go with it. And I feel like that's been so valuable for me. So I hope that helps some of the listeners to just keep trusting to that next level of depth.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks again so much, Patrick, and to all the listeners. Thank you so much for calling in. Oh, one other thing. Sylvia sent us an update. She said, thank you, thank you, thank you, Patrick. You are amazing.
And, thank you. Thank you, Sylvia. Much love and light to you and to everyone else on the call as well.
Yeah. Wow. I think with that, we'll close. Thanks so much, everyone. Take care and much love.